We're going to John chapter 15, verse 1 through 8. John 15, verses 1 through 8. What we're going to be talking about today is how to live that kind of life where the virtues of Christianity are present in your life. And this is, a lot of people say, well, I'm doing all right there in that department, Doyle. Things are good. But the virtues are supposed to be there when things are bad. So whenever you're having bad times, the same Christian virtues are supposed to be still solid as a rock acting in your life. Now, I'm just going to read the text, John 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye may bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. We have this story, and the context is it's following after Jesus has instituted the Lord's Supper. He's talked for another chapter, giving him more information. And then he says, the end of chapter 14, verse 31, he says, "Arise, let us go." So as they're walking from the upper room, and they're going toward the Kidron Valley, and then over to Gethsemane, you go down from the upper room. Are you guys following what's going on in the Middle East right now? The Pope is over there. And the Pope is going to go to the upper room and have a church service. The interesting thing is right below the upper room is what the Jewish people call the tomb of King David. So where Jesus was supposed to have left is right above the tomb of King David. And then they're going down from there. And by the way, there's a big brouhaha going on over this whole thing that's coming up over there. But they're going down from the upper room, which is part of the old city of Jerusalem, the old city of Jerusalem, down across the Kidron Valley. And at the base of Mount of Olives, there is what's known as the Gethsemane, with a wine press and the vineyard there. Now, as they're going, he starts telling this about, I am the true vine. I'm always puzzled because it's like, why now is he all at once pulling up this story of, I am the true vine? What triggered him to say that? Well, if you'll scratch around for a while, you'll find out this interesting phenomenon, or this interesting historical fact, I should have said, this historical fact. There is this great big huge temple at the time of Jesus, known as Herod's Temple, and it's got great big gates in front of it. And over these gates, they have constructed a golden grapevine that goes up and across these gates and then over, and it's covering the front of the temple. So as he walks by, they see these golden grape clusters, these golden leaves, this golden vine going up the side of the temple. And the reason they did this, now it's not a biblical thing. God did not say, thou shalt make a golden vine go up the side of the temple and across. It was a way, sounds crass, it was a way of raising money. Now, we might think that unusual, but what they did is they started this golden grapevine up the side by the door to go up over the gates. And if you brought gold and had enough gold, they would put a grape on that vine just for you, to represent you on that grapevine. And if you had a lot of money, they would even start a whole new branch just for you, because you had money, and they'd attach a golden branch off to this grapevine. So while they're walking past this, he sees this golden grapevine, and then he says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. You abide in me, and you're the branches. The interesting thing also about this golden grapevine, and and why this grapevine story comes up is, according to the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was often compared to a grapevine. And it's mentioned time and time again. I brought you up. I brought a vine up out of Egypt, and I planted you in this wonderful land. And so they understood the symbolism that they were Israel, the golden grape of God is what they symbolized there. They were building this. We are the golden grapevine of God, and we're blessed of God because we are His grapevine that He brought out of Egypt. There's only one catch. If you start reading the references that are always used where Israel is compared to a grapevine, it's always in a negative sense. It's always pointing out the fact that they're failing. They're not producing fruit. They're just a bramble. They're just a mess of vines and just leaves, and there's no production there. And it's always in a negative sense that this vine is brought up in the Old Testament. And here they are being proud. We're the golden vine. And God's going, man, you guys, it's always negative. In the Old Testament, it also says whenever you're bringing an offering to the temple, you can bring wood. Because they went through a lot of wood. They had to keep that fire stoked and burning 24 hours a day. There was always fires going on up on the Temple Mount. And one of the things that was said is, bring wood for the temple, but you cannot bring wood from a grapevine. You cannot bring wood from a grapevine. God considered it worthless. It was not good enough to be used in His temple. He did not want it there. And here these people are building this golden grapevine to start covering the front of the temple. And it's like, what are you, crazy? He said, don't bring grapevine up here. It's not fit to be used. And that's why Jesus made the statement, I am the true vine, and if you're not bearing fruit, you will be pruned, you will be cut off and burnt, because that's what He says to do. When you purge or when you prune your grapevines, you're to gather it all up and take it over and just burn it. Just get rid of it. It's worthless wood. It does not produce. It's not strong enough for building. Get rid of it. I don't want it in my temple even. And so Jesus picks up on all these metaphors and all this teaching of the Old Testament, and He says, I am the true vine. And if you want to bear fruit, you have to abide in me. You have to be a branch in me. And if you're not bearing fruit, true to form, you will be cut off and you will be cast into a fire where you will burn because you're dried up, you're worthless. Now, a lot of people will start trying to take this teaching about the grapevine and just straight up say, well, that's us. That's we, the Church of Jesus Christ. And as a Christian, I have to abide in Him. Well, there is the abiding in Him, but this particular picture of the grapevine is limited to the nation of Israel. Remember that first scripture that I read to you about there was a man who went forth and found a great treasure in a field, and when he found it, he put it back in the field, and then he sold everything he had and he bought the field so he could own the treasure legally? That's the picture of the nation of Israel. Whenever he came along, and the next sentence says, okay, there was a merchant who went out and he was buying pearls, and he found a pearl of great price, sold everything he had, and bought this pearl. The pearl is us Gentiles. The treasure was in the land, the nation of Israel. And it's referred, you know, God said He would give Abraham the land. And the treasure was found in the land. But the pearl was a pearl of great price. And pearls come from a particular thing that's called not kosher. They were not permitted to eat lobster, pigs, nor shellfish. They weren't permitted to eat oysters. A good kosher lady who is staying true to the kosher laws will not wear pearls because pearls come from an unclean source. She will wear gold, she'll wear silver, she'll wear jewelries and diamonds. But when it comes to a pearl, she won't wear them because that is considered unclean. So Jesus is teaching them from the get-go. There was a man who found a treasure in a land and he bought that land, the nation of Israel. There was a man who was a merchant, and he came forth and he bought this pearl of great price, us Gentiles. And it's the same man who's making these purchases of the treasure and of the pearl. And Jesus Christ is here is making also a differentiation. There is this vine, and this vine is the nation of Israel. And if you do not branch out from the true vine, you will be cut off and put away. Now, that's not us, because we're not sprouting from the Jewish nation. We're Gentiles. We're talked about in the book of Romans, where Paul is saying, you are of the wild olive tree, and you are grafted into the nation of Israel. You are grafted into the olive tree. This teaches that the Jewish people were connected, but they're cut out. They're cut out. The Gentiles, which is us, he comes in and he cuts us in. Two different metaphors, two different stories being taught here, but the idea is going to come up kind of with the same thing. One's cut out, one's cut in. He teaches us, don't get cocky, because you're cut in doesn't mean that as a group you can't be cut out. You are not here to stay unless you bear fruit also. We Gentiles are grafted in. Back to this idea, we have this starting off here, which I read, is there's three ideas mentioned: cleansing, abiding, and obedience. The first part is cleansing. He said that you would be purged from the vine if you were not clean. Now that word purged is the same root as cleaned, cleaning. And then he went on to say, my word has cleaned you. You have already heard my word. And when you heard my word, you have been cleaned. So the apostles were not going to be cleaned. When they believed and they heard the word of Jesus Christ, and with Peter's confession of faith, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, at that point when they accepted that as a fact, he said, you are a fruitful vine and you will abide in me and you will bear fruit. All the other people who rejected Christ, he said, you are worthless, you're not bearing fruit, you're nothing out there but a bramble, a briar, and a wild thing that needs to be cut off. And he was letting them know that there was going to be a severe cutting back, and all these people who were Jewish people who thought that they were part of that golden vine and they had it aced and they was going to be on the temple of God, he's teaching them that is going to be done away with. He already prophesied that the temple itself would be destroyed and that golden vine was going to be destroyed also. So we have a cleansing, but the original cleansing started them off and starts us off is when we actually hear the word of God, and at that point we are fruitful, because we have accepted Jesus Christ. The second thing that comes up, or if you'll let me digress a moment, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 through 11. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for heaven in you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though not for a season, if indeed you are in heaviness, wherefore manifold temptations, that your trial of faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory to the appearing of Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, and in him, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, of which the salvation the prophets have inquired, searching diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you, searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand of the suffering of Christ, the glory that should be following. We have it there. There is this cleansing, and it comes from that salvation, and we're trusting in him, and we are cleaned, and our virtues are based on Christ. And the next part is we were purged. They were purged because they accepted the word and they were left to be fruitful. We are grafted in because we accepted the word and we are there to be fruitful. The next step, though, was the word abiding. You must abide in me. And when you look this up, you're going to find all these people that say, oh, abide in me. And then they'll say, well, now to abide in Christ. And they'll start giving you a list of things you must be doing. you got to do this. You've got to confess your sins. You've got to keep the law. You've got to walk perfectly before Christ. You've got to pray. You've got to read your scripture. You've got to do. And you must be diligent. But that's not what the scripture actually says. The word abide does not mean do. It does not mean work. The word for abide in this situation is you must rest in me. We are the grafted in branch. They are the branch that was not removed from the vine. We are the olive branch that was grafted in into the olive tree. And we are to abide. We are to rest in Christ. The third part that was said in John was the whole obedience thing. The third part was, you must be obedient so that there be much fruit. Now, the idea here is, people will say, well, see, Doyle, you've got to be obedient. But when you're reading the Greek, the way you're to understand it is, the thing that he said immediately before is what he's calling you to obey. You want to bear fruit, then you obey what I say. What did he say? First, you bear fruit the first time. You bear fruit when you accept and you believe the word, you were purged, you were clean. The second thing he said is you are to abide. You are to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You are to rest in that. Then he says, if you want to bear much fruit, you are to obey what I tell you. What did he just tell him to do? He told him to abide. Stay right there. Don't get off of that mark. Toe the line. Stay right in it. So we have this emphasis here of salvation produces fruit. We're grafted in or we're not cut off if we're Israeli. Then he tells us he wants us to produce more fruit. How do we produce more fruit? We do it by abiding. And when we're abiding in Him, trusting in Him, soaking in Him, we say, well, how do we get our daily cleansing? We do it by all the confession of the faith. Do we do it by confessing all of our sins? In this scripture, he tells us what to do in this situation. He said, you are clean by the word that I have spoken to you. You say, but I need daily cleansing. Remember when he started this whole Lord's Supper thing, he brought them into a room and he is the Word of God and he washed their feet. And Peter, you know, don't wash my feet. And he says, oh, go ahead, wash my feet, wash my head. Just give me a bath. And he says, no, all I have to do is wash your feet. He later comes down to this passage and says, you were cleansed by the word that I said. They accepted Christ as their personal Savior. They were purged. They were cleansed. And after that, all they have to do is stay in contact with the Word of God. And the Word is what washes that daily contact. As you walk through the life, you need that daily contact. Abiding in Christ so that you will have more fruit is that abiding situation where you're trusting in the Word of God. Just like He soaked their feet and cleaned them up, He's the Word, the same way with us. You want your sins forgiven. You want that daily cleansing going on in your life. You go to the Word and you read and study about Christ. Abide therein. You read, you will be cleansed as you read the Word of God. You will be cleansed as you trust in what it teaches you. You will be cleansed. And then he says, you are to have much more fruit in your life. How do I get to that level? By being obedient. What am I supposed to obey? You are supposed to obey the abiding part. You are to stay in that abiding position and much fruit will be brought into your life. Not just a little bit, salvation. Not just some, abiding. But much fruit is when you stay there constantly abiding, constantly in the presence of Jesus Christ, constantly soaking in the Word of God. You are to approach the Word of God just like you would a health spa. You go in, you get cleaned up. I've never been to a health spa as in actually participated in the whole nine yards, but I have friends and family that have. You go in, you get cleaned up, and then they put you in a tub and they let you soak in a hot tub. And they let you soak, and they let you soak, and you're there, and you're relaxing, and it is so good. And that's what he's saying to us. My word is like a health spa. Get cleaned up, and then after that, get in the Word, and stay in the Word, and just like a spa, a hot tub, stay there and just soak, and Relish it. Just lavish it onto yourself. Because as you rest in me, your fruit will increase. The fruit of the Spirit will start coming into your life. You can't make the fruit of the Spirit happen in your life. You cannot cause joy. You cannot cause love. You cannot cause long-suffering to stay in your life consistently. Remember I said, how do we get it and how do we keep it? Even when times are bad, you get it by staying in the Word of God and soaking in it. How do I soak in the Word of God? Meditate. Think about it. Roll it over in your mind. Soak there. And the more we stay in that position of rest and relaxation, the more fruitful we'll become. We're saved, then the fruit of the Spirit will manifest itself in us as we relax, as we rest in the Word of God and say that's true and stop trying to struggle and accomplish things. Instead, we say, I trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and I am resting in His cleansing power, and I am resting in His keeping me. I am resting that He's going to improve my life. I am resting that He's going to lead, guide, and direct in everything, every day, and in every way. I am trusting. I am abiding in Him. And then He goes on, as you do what I tell you, which is rest, which is abide, which is to soak into that Word, you will have much more fruit, not just some. And the much more there is when times are good and you're consistent and people say, wow, this is great. Times are bad, you're consistent, and they say, things are still great for Him. How does He manage this? And I want what He's got. At that point, you will start getting much more fruit because other people will say what He's got is the real thing because it works consistently. When times are good in his life, when times are bad in her life, they're consistently going along with the virtues of Jesus Christ. They're going along with the Holy Spirit. They're leading the way, and I want that. I want that fruit. I want that peace. I want that joy. I want that cover. When times are hard, I do all right when times are good. But when times are hard, I want that then. I want what they've got. And much more fruit will start being produced in your life. But you've got to do what Jesus says. First, you get saved. Remember, stop, drop, and roll will not work in hell. You get saved, you get all your sins purged away. You get all that old life cut away from you. You get all that which is superfluous knocked out of your life. It's just cut off, it's gone. If you're Jewish, if you're Christian, He sees you and He says, you need to get away from that old tree trunk which is not good for you. And He cuts you off and He brings you over here and He cuts you in to the new tree trunk where you'll get proper nourishment. So there's that cleansing. The second part is abide. It's not do, do, do. It's rest, rest, rest. And you will start producing fruit in your life. The joy, the love, the peace, the things of the Holy Spirit. And then as you continue to rest and you say, well, I've got to go do this. I've got to prove to God that I love Him. I've got to make sacrifices so that He will know. When you're actually doing that, what you're saying is, the sacrifices of Christ are not good enough, and I'm trying to prove to you that I am now good enough. He gave me the kickstart, but now the can is working on its own, and I'm getting better on my own. And I want to demonstrate to you. You want to demonstrate to God, you do what He tells you to do. You abide in His Word. You abide in Jesus Christ. You trust in Him. You soak in His Word. And you say, I'll let you bring forth whatever you want in my life. And it's going to be good. He's only going to bring good fruit from you. And it will start manifesting in your life. And that's the only way we're going to have it, is cleansing, the original salvation, abiding, and continuing to abide, which is that obedience. Not to get antsy and start doing things our own way, but to get peaceful and let Him take care of the things and let Him handle those things properly. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that You help me to soak in Your Word. I ask that You help me to enjoy a spiritual spa, to relax. And then as I'm there relaxing, that the Holy Spirit would manifest Himself as I relax in You through each and every day, trusting You all the way, that You will lead me, guide me, and direct me, because a tree bears fruit without effort. Father, I want to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, not just some, not more, but much. And I want to do it properly by abiding and staying in that position of rest with you, so that the much more fruit will come out of my life effortlessly to the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ, because of what His sacrifice accomplished, because of what the new birth, the regeneration accomplished in me, because of what He did on the cross. Help me to trust in that. Help me to soak up the Word, and help me to properly divide the Word and know who I am and where I'm at. You love us pearls just as much as you love that great treasure in the field. And we both are abiding in Jesus Christ. Lead us, guide us, and direct us. Keep us safe as we go forth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.